from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Hello, VOI listeners, and welcome to the news on Voice of Indonesia. First, the headlines. President Prabowo inaugurates thousands of kilometers of regional roads to support food and energy self-sufficiency. Finance Minister says Patriot Bond does not shield tax violations. I am Dika, and this is the news in details. President Prabowo Subianto on Tuesday inaugurated 1,151 kilometers of regional roads to support Indonesia's food and energy self-sufficiency targets. At the inauguration ceremony in Sampang Regency, Madura Island, East Java, Prabowo welcomed the completion of the construction and said the move was part of Indonesia's broader resilience strategy.
Jalan yang baik adalah bagian dari strategi ketahanan kita.
Good roads are part of our resilience strategy. Food self-sufficiency is not only about seeds, fertilizers, and irrigation. Energy self-sufficiency is not only about energy, it is also about a smooth and effective distribution network. Energy must be able to reach people in productive areas.
Previously, Prabowo issued a presidential instruction to accelerate improvements in regional road connectivity in support of food, energy, and water self-sufficiency. Public Works Minister Dodi Hanggodo said the inauguration of the regional roads was aimed at ensuring the smooth flow of food supply chains while strengthening links between production areas and consumption centers. Indonesian Finance Minister Purubaya Yudhisadewa stated that legal protection for buyers of Patriot bonds and Merah Putih bonds does not mean investors are immune from scrutiny over all of their business activities, including tax matters. Purubaya made the statement in response to regulations granting criminal and civil protection to buyers of special debt securities issued by Danantara. Speaking at a press briefing in Jakarta on Tuesday, Purubaya explained that the protection applies only to funds placed by investors in Patriot bonds and Merah Putih bonds. He said the government would not question the origin of funds invested in the instruments. The investment funds will later be managed to help drive domestic economic activity. However, the protection does not apply to an investor's company or business activities if legal violations or tax-related issues are found. Purubaya said that the government can still take action against violations outside the funds invested in Patriot bonds and Merah Putih bonds. He also assured that the policy is different from a tax amnesty program. The protection is limited and is intended to encourage funds outside the system to enter and circulate within the national economy. Indonesian Ministry of Communication and Digital Affairs launched the Digital Ecosystem Alignment, or DEAL 2026, to accelerate Indonesia's national digital transformation. The initiative brings together the government, industry, academics, investors, startups, and communities in a joint effort to strengthen Indonesia's digital ecosystem. Kiki Purba has the details.
Indonesian Ministry of Communication and Digital Affairs launched the Digital Ecosystem Alignment, or DEAL 2026, in Jakarta on Tuesday. The initiative is designed to bring the government and all stakeholders onto the same page in accelerating Indonesia's digital transformation. Through the program, the government aims to ensure that the benefits of the digital economy can be enjoyed more widely by the public. Minister of Communication and Digital Affairs, Mutia Hafid, said, DEAL 2026 serves as a cross-sector collaboration platform that goes beyond ideas and focuses on concrete steps to address the needs of the public and industry.
Through the ecosystem-based approach of DEAL 2026, we are directing our collaboration toward concrete implementation that addresses real needs on the ground.
Under DEAL 2026, the government and its digital ecosystem partners launched 8 collaboration packages. The programs cover stronger telecommunications, connectivity, digital consumer protection, startup development, and the strengthening of the artificial intelligence, or AI, ecosystem. The collaboration is also aimed at expanding the use of digital technology across various sectors and improving national logistics efficiency. Deputy Minister of Communication and Digital Affairs, Nezar Patria, said Indonesia should not only focus on building its domestic digital foundation. He said the country also needs to strengthen its position in the global supply chain for digital technology, especially in the development of emerging technologies such as artificial intelligence.
I think this is the most important thing. The global supply chain in the digital economy, particularly the adoption of advanced or emerging technologies such as artificial intelligence.
Several programs under DEAL 2026 have already started. They include the use of Internet of Things technology for farmers and fish cultivators, artificial intelligence training for small and medium-sized enterprises, and the development of a national digital ecosystem dashboard as an integrated data source. Through this collaboration, the government hopes digital transformation will not only strengthen Indonesia's competitiveness, but also create new economic opportunities that can be accessed by communities across the country. Kiki Purba, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs, Anies Mata, encouraged Indonesia and Bulgaria to strengthen their strategic partnership through the Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or IEU-CEPA, Industrial Investment and Tourism Cooperation. He conveyed this during his visit to Sofia, Bulgaria. In an official statement issued on Tuesday, June 23, 2026, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs said Indonesia and Bulgaria see the finalization of the IEU-CEPA as an opportunity to expand market access and promote commodity diversification between the two countries. Beyond economic and investment cooperation, the two countries also agreed to enhance cooperation in tourism and culture. The collaboration will cover the promotion of culture, art, language, education, and film. The cooperation is expected not only to increase tourist arrivals, but also to create wider opportunities for creative industry players in Indonesia and Bulgaria to connect and develop partnerships. Indonesian Youth and Sports Minister Erick Thohir officially named Jakarta, East Nusa Tenggara, and West Nusa Tenggara as the host of the 22nd National Sports Week, or PON, in 2028. The decision was marked by the handover of the official decree appointing the host of the event to the 3 regional governments at the Youth and Sports Ministry Office in Senayan, Jakarta on Tuesday. Erick Thohir stressed that the 22nd National Sports Week must be prepared through strong coordination between the central and regional governments. He said close collaboration is needed to ensure that preparations for facilities, infrastructure, and the competition itself run as planned. Erick also asked the 3 provinces to make the best use of existing sports venues. He said this is important to make the event more efficient without compromising the quality of facilities for athletes and officials. Beyond infrastructure readiness, the minister also highlighted the need for a transparent and accountable competition. The 22nd National Sports Week 2028 is expected not only to bring provinces together in competition, but also to strengthen athlete development and help improve Indonesia's sporting achievements. PT Pupuk Indonesia has begun exporting urea fertilizer to Australia as part of efforts to strengthen government-to-government or G2G cooperation in the food sector. The first shipment was marked by the arrival of the Mediluna vessel carrying 47,500 tons of urea fertilizer from Bontang, East Kalimantan at the port of Brisbane, Australia on Tuesday. PT Pupuk Indonesia President Director Rahmat Pribadi said the shipment marks an important milestone in cooperation between Indonesia and Australia, particularly in ensuring fertilizer availability to support food production.
Hari ini kita menyaksikan standarnya kapal Mediluna.
Today, we witnessed the docking of the Mediluna vessel carrying 47,500 tons of urea. The fertilizer was shipped directly from Bontang to this destination. And this is the first vessel operating under the G2G arrangement.
Langsung ke sini, dan ini adalah kapal pertama under G2G arrangement.
Rahmat said the direct shipment of urea from Bontang to Brisbane also demonstrates the national fertilizer industry's readiness to meet international market demand. Beyond expanding export markets, the cooperation is expected to strengthen economic ties between the two countries, especially in the food and agricultural sectors. Going forward, Pupuk Indonesia will deliver the fertilizer in stages with a target of reaching 250,000 tons in line with the agreement between Indonesia and Australia. In an effort to reduce Indonesia's reliance on imported pharmaceutical raw materials, the National Research and Innovation Agency, or BRIN, together with the Islamic University of Indonesia, has launched the Endophytic Microbe Collaborative Research Center in Yogyakarta. The research center is expected to make better use of Indonesia's biodiversity to develop bioactive compounds for medicines ranging from antibacterial to anti-cancer treatments. Rizka Fadila has the details.
The National Research and Innovation Agency, or BRIN, launched the Endophytic Microbe Collaborative Research Center in Yogyakarta on Thursday, June 23rd. The center was established to strengthen the development of domestic pharmaceutical raw materials by tapping into Indonesia's rich biodiversity. The research center was established by BRIN in partnership with the Islamic University of Indonesia, or UII, in Yogyakarta. The launch also marked the establishment of a Center for Innovation and Excellence Studies, which will serve as a platform for research collaboration among institutions. The move is expected to help Indonesia become more independent in supplying pharmaceutical raw materials. As one of the world's megadiverse countries, Indonesia has a vast range of microorganisms that can be developed for health sector and pharmaceutical industry. Head of BRIN Applied Microbiology Research Center, Ahmad Fatoni, said endophytic microbes contain bioactive compounds that have the potential to be developed into antibacterial, anti-cancer, anti-malaria, and immunomodulatory products. He said the collaborative research center will bring together researchers from different institutions and scientific disciplines to carry out more focused research.
Later, UII will establish its localization within BRIN. That's where we'll divide up the tasks. Then we'll combine these various objects into a complex and successful research project.
Meanwhile, head of UII Endophytic Microbe Collaborative Research Center, Asitri Astuti, said the research will combine the strengths of each participating university. Each partner institution will develop the potential of endophytic microbes based on its local biodiversity and research expertise.
So, for example, at the University of North Sumatra, USU, what kind of endophytic biodiversity does it have? And if their expertise turns out to be in anti-cancer, then we will develop the potential at USU for endophytic microbes, targeting anti-cancer, for example.
The Endophytic Microbe Collaborative Research Center will connect a network of 8 universities from across Indonesia. The partners include the Bogor Agricultural Institute, the University of North Sumatra, Mulawarman University, Muhammadiyah University of East Kalimantan, Nusa Cendana University, Maluku Husada College of Health Science, and the University of Papua. Through the collaboration, BRIN and UII hope to map and develop the potential of endophytic microbes from ecosystems across Indonesia, from Sumatra to Papua, into sources of bioactive compounds. The research is ultimately expected to reduce Indonesia's reliance on imported pharmaceutical raw materials. Rizka Fadila reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, it concludes today's news bulletin from the Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
Selalu ada dekatmu, tak ingin waktu terasa cepat. Soccer Fiesta.
Did you know that throughout the history of the World Cup, there have always been iconic celebrations? Here are three of them. First, David Beckham in 2002. He scored a penalty against Argentina and celebrated by kissing the England badge, a truly emotional moment of redemption. Then, there is Robbie Keane in 2002. His celebration was simple but iconic. He pretended to be Robin Hood, starting with a cartwheel and then mimicking pulling a bow and arrow. Simple, but very memorable. Lastly, Bebeto in 1994. After scoring, he celebrated as if he were rocking a baby. It turned out he had just welcomed a child. So it wasn't just about football, but also personal happiness.
Whoa! Soccer Fiesta. Whoa!
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum. The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, welcome to the Rhythm of the Indonesian Archipelago, a weekly segment introducing you to Indonesian traditional music and musical instrument from across Indonesia. This week, we'll invite you to know more about art and culture from North Sumatra, precisely to Tanah Karo, to know more about Gendang. Let's listen to Gendang Karo Rhythm. Enjoy.
Ope nuaing amak padenami, nunga dibaik kamu godang dalihan natului. Asamar pangidua mahami, tangan mabotohon ujung ngajari-jari, jari-jari nai marsiga jangga-jangi, adorak sonidokon jumulohami marsatabi, amang batara guru humudul, batara guru padapotan, namalo mangajari, jojor-jojor manuturi, asamar guru hami tupatik nyamata debata, baik damang majo godang batara gurui.
Thank you.
Listener Karaw Regency is one of Regency in North Sumatra province with the capital city is Kabanjahe. This regency is located on Karaw Highland, Barisan Hills of North Sumatra. In Kabanjahe or Tanah Karaw, we will introduce you to traditional instrument, namely Gendang Karaw. Gendang Lima Sidalinen is percussion instruments which consist of five instruments and played by five persons. The instruments are one penarune, two penggual, and two simalugong. It is called Gendang Lima Sidalinen because the sound of music is produced by five different instruments, namely sarune as an aerophone, gendang indung as a membranophone, and gendang anak as a membranophone, gong, and penganak. But it is also called Gendang Lima Sidalinen, Ranggutna 10-2.
style gendang telu? Sedalenan consists of three instruments which are played together, which consists of kulchapi or long neck lute as a melody, keteng-keteng as a ideal chordophone or tube zither as rhythmically, and mangkuk bentar as an idiophone as a tempo. In Kyaros culture, people mention musician as sir jabaten, meaning on duty. Sir jabaten consists of players of saruni, gendang singanaki, gendang singindungi, gendang penganak, and gong. Each instrument player in Karo traditional ethno scenes has a name. Take for example, saruni player is called panaruni. Gendang or singanaki and singindungi player is called pangguwa. And penganak player is called simalu penganak. And gong player is called simalugung. And also mangkuk michiho player is called simalu mangkuk michiho. Gendang Karo performance is usually for dancing, singing, and also traditional rituals. Gendang Karo art is similar with Japanese folk arts. Its performance is simple and straightforward, and its tempo or patterns are not complicated and static. But to blow sarune needs certain technique. This traditional instrument is always used to accompany dance, song, as well as traditional rituals. So, gendang Karo is complete if there are sarune, gendang si ngindungi, gendang singanaki, panganak, and gong to accompany a ceremony or party. Well, listen, that was a glimpse of gendang Karo. And to conclude the rhythm of the Indonesian archipelago for today, let's listen to gendang. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa. Thank you.
Indonesia.
VOI listeners, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to Penuh River or Sungai Penuh that may not be so familiar to your ears. However, thereupon we can find a place called Kahyangan Hill. Sungai Penuh Regency in Jambi Province, Indonesia is surrounded by green hills and the fertile Kerinci Valley. It is not surprising that Sungai Penuh is a district whose a lot of tourism attractions are interesting to visit. Listener, Kahyangan Hill is one of tourism destinations that you can visit. It offers a stunning view of a series of hills and has a height of around 2,000 meters above sea level, with temperatures reaching 20 degrees Celsius. This hill, which directly shares a border with the Kerinci Seblat National Park, is situated at Binakarya Village in Sungai Banyak and has quiet complete facilities such as huts, gazebos, toilets, a large parking area, and many others. Even though it's far from downtown of Sungai Penuh Regency, this place is a good one for visitors to relieve their fatigue. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder for today from Voice of Indonesia.
Sengaja ku melihat dirimu dengan wajah cantikmu, ku ingin mengenalmu. Oh, ku berjalan menuju ke arahmu, tapi ku tak berani, ku malah berdiam diri. Ku tak berdaya, sekejap saja. Senyummu begitu mempesona, baru kali ini ku rasa ku berdebar tak tahu kini harus berbuat apa.
right, listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a song from South Sulawesi entitled Tome Pare. The song Tome Pare was composed by J.K. Parantean. The lyrics tell people of Toraja who are harvesting paddy in the valley and hill. Many people are walking into rice fields to harvest happily. Meanwhile, a shepherd is joking and playing gladly, waiting for the harvest. All the people look happy while harvesting the paddy. Alright, listener, let's enjoy the traditional song from South Sulawesi, Indonesia, entitled Tome Pare by J.K. Parantean. Have a listening.
Voice of Indonesia.